Here we are in the future. Here we are in the future, and it rules. This manga's world is very cruel. I can't believe I've become a fan. Happily ever after, Chainsaw Man.
Hey.
Brilliant.
What's up, gamers? Welcome to Wensleydale's Hideaway.
That's right. Welcome, 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 dear all, to the Manga Mosaic Podcast. Today we're talking about Tatsuki Fujimoto's grotesque festival of bleakness and absurdity in manga form, the recently ended Shonen Jump series Chainsaw Man. I have with me my Duckface Diaries co-host and Hoven's Hideaway host. That's a lot of alliteration. Hoven, who will be moderating this discussion?
Right, yeah, so keep it below the belt. Wait, no, the opposite of that. Shit, okay, I shouldn't be moderating this. This was a mistake.
And a very special guest, a self-motivated writer and journalist currently working for OtaQuest to deliver daily coverage and editorials across a wide spectrum of Japanese pop culture. I am very happy to welcome Jacob Parker Dalton. And yes, I did just quote your LinkedIn profile. How are you doing?
I can't believe you found that. Wow. Yes, I'm good. Thanks for having me on. Long-time listener, and hopefully we'll have a good discussion.
Yeah, it's great to have you on.
Very happy to have you. How have you guys been doing?
I've been doing all right. I have been rereading through Bleach and have discovered the worrying realization that Bleach might be good, actually. And having this realization has made me retroactively much more annoyed at Shonen discourse surrounding it.
You are the chosen one.
You're going to be the one person excited for the Thousand Blood Year War arc anime.
Yep.
Well, I've been discovering a new animation program. I'm currently job hunting and found like a job offer for junior animators, so I'm trying to learn it in vain. The tutorials are actually quite good on the site, so something might come out of it even if I don't make it till the deadline. Mm.
Good luck job hunting during a pandemic and economic crisis, my man.
Somehow I managed it, and I'm still not quite sure why.
Okay, fair enough.
That's true.
How have you been doing, Jacob?
I'm good, thank you. Yeah, I'm back home for Christmas now, so back with the parents and the dog, which is nice.
It's always good to be back with the dog.
Yeah, definitely. I know we share that, Hovind. I sort of always try and come into these breaks with wild ambitions of reading things and catching up with things. Have a big pile of manga on my desk that I want to read, and light novels, but I have a feeling that I'm not going to read any of them, but we'll see.
Just never expect, like, to get through your backlog at any given point. Just let it happen.
Never.
I've been trying to, like, read Mashle for half a year and haven't had any chance.
Yeah. It's surprising, like, even when this is your full-time job and you get paid to do this and read things, the amount of things that you still put off and don't read, it's, even if you manage to do this full-time, it's, there are still so many things you never end up finishing.
Yeah, like, since I started podcasting, I've been reading fewer things than I did before, right. I've noticed. I'm always, like, putting it off for a review, so I want to save my first impressions or something. And then, okay, there's so many Jump Stars to catch up on. Fuck it, I'm not doing Jump Stars anymore.
I'm currently reading everything in Jump apart from We Never Learn, Black Clover, and One Piece. So I don't know why I've chosen this pain for me, but...
Yeah, no, even I don't read that much.
Yeah, I have to read things like... I guess Strangle's okay, but there's some stuff I definitely wouldn't read, like Me and Robico. I wouldn't read that out of pleasure. Sorry, I know you like it, Hovind, but...
here's the thing. I mildly enjoyed the first three chapters, but I didn't read the rest because I just don't like gag manga very
much.
So it's not really much of a target for me.
Understandable.
I hope you can just all agree to not read Cross Account.
I mean, what's the harm in it at this point? It's long dead. To get into the series we are discussing today, we are talking about Tatsuki Fujimoto's recently paused Chainsaw Man. Mm. And Jacob, I believe, let's go through our first impressions. Did you read Fire Punch before going into Chainsaw Man, or start Chainsaw Man first?
Well, I've only just started to read everything in Jump, but about a year ago I would sort of pick and choose what I would read in Jump. And like most things, this series was recommended to me by you, Chainsaw Man, Hoven.
Did I?
Well, you sort of like turned me onto it, and I read it and then did a review of it. I think it was like April, June last year, and it was like 30 chapters in. Once I got up to date with that, because I really liked it, I saw that Fire Punch was on Shonen Jump, so I checked that out, and yeah, really, really enjoyed that. So that's sort of the timeline, I think.
Because, yeah, for me, like, Chainsaw Man, because I read it first, it definitely sucker-punched me.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think one thing about the manga is that it starts off very much... It poses itself as a very typical framework for a Jump exorcist or demon hunting manga.
Mm-hmm.
And then it increasingly shows its hand to just how off the rails and dark and batshit it can be mm-hmm. as it goes along.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember one of my first video essays here was on Chainsaw Man, when it was still a wee jumpstart. Mm. I rewatched it recently, and oh my god, my voice was so slow back then, what was I thinking? But second thought is that it came out at that weird time in the manga that I came to some weird conclusions about it. Mm. Like, at that point, three of the four major female characters introduced were using sexual or sensual pleasure as incentive for Denji to do stuff for them.
Yeah.
I was like, for how horny the manga is, the female characters' desires were never front and center at that point, and I didn't feel like there was much autonomy in that. Mm. My main fear was, is this going to become another incel manga?
I was just going to say, like, I also, when I sort of reread my review, I'm working on like a retrospective for it for the site, hopefully come out next week. I was rereading my initial review on it, and like it's almost like it was written on a completely different series. I said in the article, like I'm afraid that it's going to become a typical sort of Shonen Jump sort of battle manga, like you say, like an exorcist manga. I even pointed out like a comparison with Jujutsu Kaisen in the way that it felt to me like it was becoming more typical. And then, as you say, everything changes, I think, around the International Assassin's Arc.
I kind of counted it as part of the ending, even if we count the Assassin's Arc, it's like the
beginning of the end almost.
Yeah.
For sure.
It's like half of the series, if you count that.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, I mean, I think the thing for me is that the latter two arcs, if you count the Control Devil and the Gun Devil, is like separate. On a reread, you really blitz through them, because like Chainsaw Man tends to have these stints of talky chapters, which take a bit longer to get through, and then action chapters, which are very brisk. And those are very long stretches of action. So like, story-wise, it is more like the latter third.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of what actually progresses.
So just coming back to my fears, then Himeno happened, and like age difference issues aside, because Jesus Christ, why are you doing this all the time, Jump? Horniness was very much front and center, and fortunately I couldn't be more off with my fears, as Reze, Makima, Quangchi, they all became more charismatic and engaging characters that I could have ever hoped for. Mm. And what I did like the manga and still love it for was like this feeling of alienation that resonated with me last year and still resonates with me now. Mm. For a long time, any character relationship Denji had felt shallow and related to his immediate hedonistic pursuits. And there was this kind of certain alienation from the rest of society to that felt very controlled by the hierarchy established by the public safety force, and it was kind of recontextualized by the reveal of Makima's plans. So
yeah, no, there is so much that hits really different on a reread, and knowing that Denji is in the palm of Makima and Reze's hands, respectively, in a given moment. I also just really love the line from Reze, which is like, as soon as she learns Denji's with Makima, she's like, oh, okay, I might as well not bother to having run away with you then. It wasn't even worth trying.
I started collecting the volumes in Japanese, Van Volume 8, so I don't know when that came out, like August. And I said to myself that I was going to reread it once it ended. The only problem was is I didn't think it would be by the end of the year. I thought it might be a couple months. But I'm looking forward to rereading it again, because I think the latter half is so dense with plot.
It can be very like back and forth and frustrating to read week to week, whereas just doing it in one go, it's a much more coherent action beat, especially knowing where it's going.
Yeah, and in bulk it was so satisfying to read. Reading the Assassin's arc, especially for the second time, definitely helped me become more interested in the Assassin's motivations, as I didn't really remember anyone apart from Quangxi and Santa Claus on my first read. This part of my notes is just filled with... If you listen to Duckface Diaries, our World Trigger read-through podcast, you might be familiar with our random observations portion. So this podcast is basically going to be random observations from me all around. I loved, in particular, like the imagery in that arc with the hell sequence. It's a visual marvel all around. With striking imagery like the row of praying astronauts with the bottom halves sticking out from the ground opposite to them, leading to the darkness devil, who then just cuts everyone's arms off in a two-page spread.
And then it spells Makima, right? Or was that like a conspiracy theory? I can't remember.
Oh, shit, I can't remember. I have to go back to that.
I think it. I remember seeing it on 4chan, which is not a very respectable source. But
I think, yeah, one thing that I slowly realised and then was later confirmed by reading Fire Punch is that Fujimoto's rough, scrappy, and at times stiff art is very much a feature and not a bug.
Mm, yeah.
It is there to emphasise the mood and a very intentional creative choice.
I don't think you would have such panels like Agni with the pain face. You guys know the meme, right?
Well,
with the...
Well,
with
that, well, the thing is...
with that.
Okay, yeah. Well, I was going to say, we're going to get more to comparison later, but I actually find Fire Punch's art much more tactile and densely shaded.
Yeah.
It isn't as rough as this series is, which is why it made me realize, like, oh no, this isn't him learning the ropes. This is the style he has chosen to go with this series.
Yes, this is just Fujimoto, yeah.
When I look at Fujimoto's character art, the constantly exhausted facial expressions, I feel like he understands how desensitized the general population must be in 2020. It really fits this year. It reads especially well in all its bleakness, in its hopelessness, in the grotesque, in how, like, awful atrocity keep happening around the world and we never have the time to process them before the next thing happens. Everyone just has to accept it and move on. Life goes on as if everyone's memories were eaten by the chainsaw devil.
I mean, one trait of Fujimoto's art with regards to, like, expression is just having these po-faced, serious looking, sometimes intimidating characters just delivering unusually blunt or ill-informed or casual dialogue.
Yeah, it's the dialogue, I think. He that's where his writing is so good. The expression is in Japanese is like every line has a punch. There's just so much flavor and character in each line. That's definitely something I like about Chainsaw Man. You know, it's not just a series about, you know, amazing art and bloody battles, even though that is a draw. It's also just seeing these characters interact. I think what we were saying before about sort of how uneven the series feels, I think, I don't know, I think it seems like you two have sort of reread parts of it, and that's something I want to do, and maybe your opinion is different from mine now that you've reread it, but certainly reading it week to week, I definitely felt that there was a very big shift after the International Assassins arc to very much rush a lot of things, and it does feel, just from reading it the once, it does feel like quite a lot of the narrative was rushed, and there was a bit of a rush towards the ending. I think there were quite a couple of things that could have been explored. I think in general, like, just revealing the big main antagonist, the Gun Devil, in like the you know, the seventh arc or like the first year of publication is just crazy. Like, I was, when I was writing my article, my retrospective article, it's like My Hero Academia took 6 years almost before it even talked about who Shigaraki was and what he actually, like, what his role was in All For One's plans, and then you have Fujimoto. And yeah, I think on the whole, it ends up being a little bit less of a refined series than Fire Punch, but also one that I think could improve in future. But I don't know if you guys have a different opinion from that.
I think with regards to the ending,
yeah,
the way it plays out, it's definitely very brisk from each reveal to the infinite to the next. It's very much resting on the striking splash pages and art and dynamism to convey the weight rather than allowing the pace to do that. I think the one instance where I'm like, it feels a bit weird from how quick the ending is the way that Makima brings back all of these other demons from around the series.
Yeah.
Clearly shows that they're not mindless puppets. Yeah. Like, they still have some personality, but then they don't really say anything and just get very quickly dispatched by Genji.
Yeah. That's the thing. I think a lot of things in an ideal world would have allowed more time to be explored. You know, those four characters might have been, you know, you could, any other author would have done like a whole arc with them, you know, 20, 30 chapters just with those characters. And I can't make my mind up whether that's a feature, like a bug or a feature, as you say, you know, whether that's a good thing or a bad thing. I don't know.
I feel like it's the most Chainsaw Man thing it could have done to, like, kill off certain characters so early on, to introduce the actual Gun Devil like that. Oh, yeah, he's been already captured and confined. To me, like, the Gun Devil arc specifically was really about Aki as I read it. And when I reread it, it built very naturally from him losing Himeno. and then him coming to care about the people around him and not wanting them to disappear despite himself. Like, when studying his expressions of his stifled despair after Himeno died whenever Angel wasn't Angel, or when the Violence Devil died during the Hell Battle. One of my favourite moments was during the trip to Hokkaido, the visit to Aki's family grave, when he said usually he comes here to think depressive thoughts, but this time Denji and Power were too much of a nuisance, so he didn't have time to brood. And as he, like, tries to pull out of the mission to confront the Gun Devil, Makima pulls him back in by holding Denji and Power hostage. Just as he tries to avoid the unavoidable future that will make Power and himself be killed by Denji, he makes a contract with Makima, allowing the Gun Devil to take control of his body and bring his own demise.
It's the tragedy of Aki, then. He wants to live, but and he's found a reason to live, but in that moment he's given his fate by Makima. That's really interesting. That's exactly what I want to rediscover when I go back to read it, and I'm really looking forward to doing that.
His character arc is definitely something I read more strongly, because a lot of things got lost in the shuffle with the week-to-week experience with Chainsaw Man for me. Even with the slower paced sections of the series, Aki's arc definitely reads in a much more cohesive way. One thing I found really interesting about Aki is in the flashback, him sticking gum on Himeno's former buddy's girlfriend. It's like he had that kind of pranking, petty side to him, and he used to be more like Denji.
Yeah.
That's really interesting for him.
And then that sort of slide to maturity or sort of punished nature is then symbolized by him smoking, obviously, taking up that hobby from Himeno, who is just Togata from Fire Punch, by the way.
Togata's quirks are just so unique.
That's true.
That I can't really see Himeno as being similar to them.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, maybe.
I absolutely love the sequence counting the Gun Devil's victims. I thought just as the sequence was happening, as the killing was happening, we kind of look at it from a very clinical perspective, looking at this whole event almost from Markham's perspective, perhaps.
It's really brutal.
The sequence when that flashback to Aki's snowball fight with Denji as kids, and just as he was going to have with his little brother as he starts killing, and him just like saying, "My life has finally gotten kind of fun." That was really powerful.
Just as you were saying, sort of the massive load of text with the victims, that reminds me very much of Hajimu in Medical Box. I don't know if you guys have read that.
It's on my list!
Yeah, you would probably like it if you like Chainsaw Man. It's very playing around with sort of expectations of shonen and battle manga. And Najimi, she has like 10 trillion skills or something ridiculous. And every time she uses them, Nisho Ishin, like there's a whole page of like her skills. And I think the reason why I like Chainsaw Man's actually very similar to the reason why I like Medica Box. It's very playful and has something to say about shonen as a whole. Maybe
I'd love to give it a shot. Although we were talking about our backlog, so
I don't know, it's also not available legally anyway. It's not been picked up, unfortunately. So
one thing that I do find very interesting about the way Chainsaw Man ended is how it went for a very deliberately anticlimactic finale after a much more bombastic planetary scale one.
Yeah, again, I can't make up my mind whether that's the point or whether that's a bit disappointing, but I think that it could get better in part two.
Honestly, the whiplash is very satisfying to me. Please, I hope you liked Kobeni's scene in Family Burger. I thought it was amazing.
Yeah.
To put this in the finale arc of a major manga. Oh, I loved it so much.
So I write a weekly column. It was called Your Manga Week. Now it's called Jump Time, but it's basically just a review of the chapters that come out each week. And I wrote nearly 1,000 words on chapter 805 just because I was in awe of just the majesty of this chapter, the absolute sheer balls on Fujimoto to do something like this. It reminds me actually a lot of Let's Go Eat Italian Food from JoJo. And I'm not sure whether that's because it's about food or whether just because it's so perfect in its just being contained.
It's disjointedness.
Doesn't have it. It's just so bizarre.
I love the fucking restaurant owner. Our business is like a family, which is why I'm going to slap you. Then Kobeni is just falling over twice while she tries to...
How is this the other one of the guys is like, how is this even happening? How can you fall down twice? That is going to be... That's going to be a trending episode of anime, I'm sure. That is going to be...
Yes!
That has to be the piece de resistance.
Then he fucking takes it on a DDR date and just
dance for me. I guess, to go back to the very anticlimactic nature mm-hmm. of the final encounter, I think, especially with the last chapter that's just dropped, really grown on me. Mm-hmm. Because it's Denji finally, rather than just going gung-ho and just throwing chainsaws at everything, it's him using his head and paying attention to Makima in a way that he didn't beforehand.
Yes.
Beforehand, he was very much suppressing his doubts about Makima and the situation he was in. And this is a show that he is more conscious of the world around him and more wily of it.
I think from the very beginning, Chainsaw Man has been about Denji, the protagonist. And obviously that's an obvious statement to make. But, you know, he starts off the series with the very simple desire of, I want to feel some boobs. And then throughout the series, he does feel some boobs and he does kiss someone. And then he realizes, oh, that maybe that wasn't actually that satisfying. And I think another key moment was with him and Power when he was in the bath with her. You know, in any other Denji would have, you know, that something would have happened, but nothing did happen. And I think this whole time Denji's been maturing a little bit as a character. And deciding factor was the fact that he realized that Makima wasn't into him. And I think the whole story of Chainsaw Man Part 1 in retrospect is just the story of him realizing that he isn't into Makima and she isn't into him, maybe.
Yeah, it's a...
Chainsaw Man's a rom-com, guys.
Oh my god, it's the perfect rom-com. Yeah. I love, like, the quote-unquote big moment in the back alley when, like, Denji has his big breakthrough that, well, it's not like he doesn't want the hedonistic pursuit of simple pleasures anymore, and now he desires opulence. Mm-hmm. And that's almost a parody of a shonen declaration.
Yeah, definitely. I was going to say, you brought something really interesting at the top, Wensudel, about how this taps into alienation and just dissatisfaction, and I think you see in Denji somewhat just the consumer, just chasing after these highs, you know, chasing after sexual pleasure or, you know, food or a nice house.
The burger chain, it's a commentary.
Yes. It taps into, I think, a very real thing about, from living in Japan, just the way that everything is commodified and you're chasing after some certain type of pleasure. I think it's very real. I think we have to agree there's a general reason why Chainsaw Man has become so popular in such a short space of time, why people are liking it. It does tap into something unconscious, I think, which maybe deserves further commentary, perhaps.
I mean, on the nature of Denji's characterization, I like that he rationalizes attraction on such a base carnal level, and this is conveyed in a way that he has no concept of constructs like monogamy or the social stigma surrounding relationships. It's like he finds out Himeno kisses everyone while drunk, and your expectation, especially for like a Japanese protagonist, is to be like, oh man, it's not special anymore, or whatever. And then he's just like, score! My kiss is in the bag! He has such like a simple way of viewing these things that isn't dictated by the societal frameworks of someone else might be.
I think as well, you know, another key moment was when he saw on the TV everyone shouting Chainsaw Man, Chainsaw Man, Chainsaw Man, right? I think in a lot of ways, Chainsaw Man begins to approach a lot of the ideas that Fire Punch did. I know that we're going to discuss Fire Punch later, but I'll bring it up now. Like, Fire Punch was all about, what is a hero? What does it mean to be a hero? Even if you are a hero, for who are you a hero? Are you a hero for people who believe you're God? Are you a hero for the movie, for the screen, for the spectacle? Mm-hmm. Denji, for a moment, lost his purpose of being Chainsaw Man, but then found it again on the TV when he saw everyone loved him. But even then, that's not a very, as he declares, you know, he wants to have tons of sex as Chainsaw Man. That's his goal. I still think in general, Denji has a long way to go in terms of his journey. And I think in part two, we're going to see more stuff like that. Because let's not forget, in part two, he now has a kid, basically. Mm. He is Chainsaw Dad now.
Chainsaw Dad. Oh geez, yeah, Denji, you must take care of this little girl. Oh no, this is manga. I know where this is going, and I don't like it.
This is gonna be Saga Drop, isn't it?
Oh no.
Devil Drop.
Yeah, this is why it's moving to Jump Plus, guys.
I do love Denji's character arc, and as you said, Hoven, it's really an understated moment, but it is really the more of his character progression than I expected him to be capable of to realize that Makima wasn't paying attention to him from the start and using this in his final fight.
And I think one time he breaks out of this and isn't drawn back in by Makima is just before the Gun Devil, where he chooses to support the Darkness Devil traumatized power rather than go on the trip with Makima.
Yeah.
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 That's like a really key moment maturing for
sure.
Him.
I think Reze was another key step in that chapter. Mm. He's saying, you know, Pochita, I can't choose. Like, is it Makima or is it going to be Reze? And I think even in that arc, you could see how fragile his attraction for Makima was. And in retrospect, that becomes much more important because of his role in her plans in general.
It kind of mirrored a moment from the start, from chapter two, when he was asking this little girl that he found to run away because she apparently ran away from this abusive dad, mm-hmm. even if it turned out to be the muscle devil's ploy to trick him. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I kind of notice a parallel there. Mm. Should we also talk about the entire sequence where after Aki's death, Denji doesn't want to think about making decisions for himself anymore? So he cashes in his wish to become Makima's dog.
A dog, yeah. Mm. I think that's a very, maybe literal manifestation of what Denji's journey is about, which is about finding his own goals and living for himself in general. And I think it does approach a lot of what Agni comes to realize in Fire Punch, where he realizes that he doesn't want to be a hero, really. And he ends up sort of doing it, but not for the reason everybody wants him to do it.
So I can't believe we've been talking about the ending and we haven't really delved into the fact that it went full Timothy on us with Denji, just the slow reveal that Denji is going to be eating Makima in multiple meals. And then at the final chapter we get these lavish, beautiful images of all the ways he's prepared her.
I love
and
that.
It's like out of context, you'd have no idea.
Yeah.
I love how in the last chapter Fujimoto was like, yeah, sure, I can draw better looking food than Food Wars. Give me a minute.
Surely the strangest colour spread. It can't be as strange as the foursome in International Assassins, surely.
Oh yeah, the spread that meant it couldn't be on the jump app on phones.
Amazing.
On the note of if we're going to favorite characters and moments, I don't know how we're going to cut this episode. We're kind of all over the place, but
yeah,
I love
sorry.
It. It's very fitting for Chainsaw Man.
Yeah, for sure. It's what Fujimoto would have wanted.
I love the little anecdote Quangxi gives to Kishibe on that reporter she liked and her many scandals and how she learned ignorance is bliss. So I did like it for two reasons. First of all, this was such a mood in how the orange fucker bombarded us with scandals one after another and none of them stuck. Who the fuck even remembers who Stormy Daniels was? And on the other hand, this should be the standard, but I really respect Fujimoto immensely for not pussyfooting around delicate conservative sensibilities and like having her explicitly be a lesbian. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, not, oh, she's just trying to be Ogata's friend, lesbian. Not says she has the hots for Senja Gahara, but then keeps flirting with Araragi, but a lesbian with no room to interpret it otherwise. Mm. It's such a mundane, everyday moment too, and there's no way this is like to titillate boys. It's an anecdote that's part of a character, and this was such a small moment, but I love that. Mm.
There's also a great trans character in Fire Punch. I won't spoil who it is, but that's not the first time we've seen Fujimoto sort of just put, you know, an LGBT character in there and not even say anything about it. There's nothing a big deal made out of it. It's just like, yeah, that's, you know, who she is. It's nice. My headcanon is Aki is gay, but I don't know.
I guess his obsession with Makima would be more cultish in that reading then, and less sexual attraction.
Yeah, you also don't know how, to what extent he is controlled by her, you know, where does the attraction come from, you know?
Shall we get into standout characters and moments?
Yeah, let's do characters and moments, yeah.
I mean, we already mentioned Kabeni.
Kabeni, yep.
Yes.
Amazing.
She's just wonderful every moment she's on screen.
She's probably my favourite. Like, I've always had a soft spot for, like, cowering disasters who just can't catch a break. But
she always says, what? Huh? What? All the little vocalisations she makes.
She just by some miracle survives to the end. I guess that we could say that her and Denji are the real undead unluck we made along the way.
Amazing. She should never die. I hope, like, I don't know how long Chainsaw Man's going to continue, but I hope she's the only one left standing.
Yeah, yeah.
That would be hilarious.
I do want her in the second part, though.
She's 100% going to be in it, surely. She's the only one of the only surviving characters, basically.
She's also, like, another manifestation of that consumerism thing. She's absolutely fucking terrified to be there, and she says multiple times that she was going to quit. And then at one point she says, she's like, okay, why are you staying on? She's like, I didn't get my bonus yet.
She's the most amazing exploited millennial worker. I love her so much. I did love her talk with Denji when she stated that living in obedience, living within the social hierarchy and living a life full of worries is the normal, is what Denji should expect. And
yeah, she sort of shows Denji how privileged he is in some senses as well, you know, saying, you know, you can regenerate, you can come back to life. Like, you have it easy compared to everyone else on this earth. You need to get a grip.
Then, of course, we have a character that, like, everyone on Twitter seems to love, which is Power.
Yeah, yeah.
She's great.
Power, right?
My favourite line from her is, Denji, I have a brilliant idea. It'll win a Nobel Prize. Go in there and die for my Nobel Prize so we can get out of here.
I love whenever she just mentions all over the manga. Like, if this were any other character, it would be an isolated moment, an isolated gag. But she just keeps mentioning she's going to be the president. And then she just mentions when she regenerates, oh, yeah, I'm the first president. What do you think that means?
She's clearly just heard that somewhere and is now repeating it for no reason.
Any other standout characters or moments?
Yeah, for me, it has to be Reze.
Yeah.
My favourite character. And I think in general, her arc was basically the reason I started considering Chainsaw Man a favourite. I think that her arc was the first time I ever really engaged with the series on an emotional level and really cared about what was going to happen week to week.
Yes.
I'm a big Denji Reze shipper. I think her journey, you know, she tricks Denji, you know, you get close to her, then the reveal happens, and then she's like, oh yeah, it was just all a trick, a ruse. But then actually, you see where, as she's dying, that she regrets it a little bit, and she was going to go meet him. I'm forgetting the specifics, but there was definitely the insinuation that they could have been together, and her arc in general was amazing, and I also completely lost my mind when she may or may not have come back as a hybrid, which... we still don't know if that was her or not. I guess it was in some senses. I also really like the Angel Devil. When the popularity poll was going on, I actually was the first time I ever voted every day in a poll because I was voting for the Angel Devil.
Oh, interesting.
He's my boy. I love him. He's a nihilist. He doesn't care about anything. He's a mood all of the time.
You also get the very interesting country mouse versus town mouse dilemma that gets raised.
Exactly.
And then you get that very illuminating character for Makima where she's just, the others are all like which one they relate to. And she's just like, well, I like the country mouse better because I had a really fun time hunting country mice.
Yeah, all of my favourites basically come from the Bomb Girl arc, I think, probably.
I do love Makima. She's a great antagonist, and the only thing that holds her back, that ruins her, is that she's basically got Basil Hawkins' power from One Piece, and Basil Hawkins is pretty lame, so...
She's also probably one of the most overwhelming characters in Jump, probably next to Satoru Gojo from Jujutsu Kaisen. Her and him, I think, probably the two most overwhelmingly powerful, threatening characters. I'm struggling to think of any different. Maybe Shigaraki a little bit. I mean, Shigaraki, Makima, and Gojo's not a bad guy. I mean, Sukuna's a good bad guy as well. I mean,
I guess Jujutsu Kaisen and Chainsaw Man have like weird world-breaky powers that I don't think the other Jump series have off the top of my head.
Undead Unluck breaks the world multiple times.
Who would win in a fight, Chainsaw Man or Goku?
I did love that moment that you mentioned that she promised that she would bring Denji food, and she did. From the Bomber Girl arc, I did love the moment right after, when it's one of my favourite comedic moments, when Reze dies, and then Denji thinks he'll never feel happiness or sadness ever again, and then Makima announces a trip, and he immediately jumps with joy. Hooray!
Yeah.
And Power's like, I have an urgent meeting that day. And Makima's like, we haven't even chosen a date. What?
My favourite moment from the series probably was the Hell arc, which we've discussed a little bit more. I think following that week to week, as especially writing the column, just the escalation in that arc and then ending that chapter. I think it's chapter 64 when they actually go to Hell. And it's that final double page spread, and it's just like loads of doors and a bathtub.
Yeah.
I was like, what the fuck? Like, what are we getting ourselves into? And then, you know, the appearance of the Primordial Devils and the Darkness Devil. for me was just a standout moment and one I was really looking forward to each chapter going ahead.
There's definitely an art highlight for me in that arc, which is the Halloween devil.
Yeah.
The way that her power is shown.
Oh, God, yeah.
And how it makes use of the graphical format in such an interesting way.
Yeah.
There is a lot of cool stuff like that with how Fujimoto uses the art. Another example is like the way that Aki's con, the way that it frames that, it'll sometimes have it... Mm. going through the panels. Mm-hmm. Or there's one where, I think it's when Denji's fighting the bat, he has the circle that he makes with his finger and his thumb encapsulates all of them. It's like he's framing them in it.
Mm. Mm-hmm. That's going to be so cool to see in animation, I think. There's so much there that could be... I mean, good job Mappa's doing it, but I hope that a good director gets their hands on it and just goes wild with it.
I can't believe I haven't mentioned my favourite character yet. Kabeni's car.
Oh, yes. What did that, like, Kabeni's car won, like, 7th in the popularity contest or something ridiculous?
It was higher than Kabeni herself.
Oh, yeah.
Kabeni with the car, any relation to Bluno from the bar or Paula from the pub?
It was one of my favourite comedic moments as well, though. Just hers and Power's dynamic as, like, they fight over, like, who drives the car. Power domineers over them, and then she just runs over one of the brother assassins.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then it's like the story's built them up so much that these are the four main bad guys.
It's like, you need to keep your eye on this one.
Yeah.
And then just one of the agents kills the other one, and it's only the youngest who survives.
Denji uses it like Dio's road roller.
That's almost definitely a reference, surely.
Yeah, it has to be.
It has to be.
Fujimoto is a fan of his references.
Definitely, definitely. I think another standout moment for me... I mean, I couldn't imagine reading this manga and not having Twitter, right?
So yeah, it's the weekly experience of everyone losing their shit at it.
Like, I mean, I read Jump on a Monday because it's part of my job and I try not to work in the weekend. But I have to literally avoid Twitter on a Sunday evening because I will get spoiled. But then even when I casually go on Twitter... Like, top trending in Japan would be, like, Makima. Or, like, when Power died, it was Power. And then I got spoiled on that. But so many of those, in the past couple of chapters, so many of those moments, I think, were amplified for me reading it week to week and reacting to the reveals with everybody else. And I'd be curious to see in an alternative universe, you know, if this was in the 80s, for example... You know, how would that change our experience?
You mentioned the references. I've just remembered in the Gun Devil arc, there was this kind of bloody parody of the Spider-Man train scene as the citizens come together and stab themselves to give Denji blood so he has the power to fight.
Well, I think even when everyone's shouting Chainsaw Man on the TV, Makima explains that because nobody fears him anymore, he's not as powerful. My mind immediately jumped to the end of the Kamino incident in My Hero Academia. Because that's where everybody's cheering, like, oh my, oh my. And in that series, that, you know, allows you to beat the main villain. Spoilers from My Hero Academia, I guess. But, but in this series, it's actually the opposite, where that disempowers the protagonist. So that was interesting. I don't think it's an accident that it was published in Jump that close in the same magazine.
I've got to shout out Hoven's shit post as he edited that moment in the Kamino arc with the... Captain Falcon ending?
The Falcon Punch. And then someone stole your idea and got millions of views, right?
Yeah, it's something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bastards. I think in general, in terms of standout characters and moments, there's, as I said, you know, there's so much stuff I've forgotten and I'm really looking forward to diving back in on it again. Even someone I follow was rereading it and there was like the moment where Denji and Power are both wearing glasses from like really early on that I've completely forgotten about. And also like in general, Himino, like I really liked Himino and I've completely forgotten everything about Himino. And I'm looking forward to diving back into that, especially her relationship with Aki.
I don't think I have any more notes on my favorite moments. That's really weird. The rest of my notes on this page just say Halloween.
I don't
know what that's all about.
You don't have any more random observations?
No.
I guess... Oh, yeah, there is the game. There is one line from her that I think is very interesting. It's so great having an addiction. In this life, you need something to take the edge.
That's so true.
Again, walking into that theme.
Yeah, that's so true. For us, it's reading weekly manga, right? It is for me.
Yeah.
I didn't say about Halloween as well. If Mappa doesn't do something crazy with that, where they're, like, bleed into the credits or something really inventive with that, then I think... they'll have missed a trick.
I guess, like, to add a little section in here, what are our expectations for the anime? I'm actually not hugely excited for it.
It really depends who the director is, I think.
And, of course, if they don't collapse under the weight of Attack on Titan's final season.
Oh, God, yeah. I mean, if the release date is next year, then I have no hope, because Attack on Titan's final season could collapse at any minute, as you say. Like, was it, like, two animation directors on the last episode and... God.
Yeah, no, I'm not hugely informed, but I have heard horror stories of the production process.
Yeah, I mean, MAPPA has dominated 2020. It's managed to continue to pump out really well-received shows and you know, really anticipated adaptations. You know, God of High School, that is a huge adaptation that maybe, you know... I don't know if we're fans of this. I was not a massive fan of it, but...
I dropped it after, like, 4 episodes?
Yeah, I had to review it week by week, so...
I surprisingly don't watch a lot of seasonal anime in general, so...
That's a good choice.
You basically watch the stuff I show you when it's all finished.
That's a good choice.
Yeah, that's about basically. It.
I think, like, you know, MAPPA, as I say, MAPPA's had an amazing 2020, but you have to wonder what the catch is. You know, what's the secret? And either the secret is that they've managed to perfect working from home, or the secret is that they're overworking their staff to shit. And I think it's the latter, unfortunately.
Yeah, that's bad.
I guess to go into, like, my personal hang-up, I'm sure the Chainsaw Man anime, based on the talent of the studio, could end up being a very strong adaptation. I think Chainsaw Man is just one of those things for me where it works so well as just a piece of sequential art in how it utilizes the graphic novel format that just... Personally, I just don't see much artistic ways it could be improved from an anime format.
It's got to have a visionary director. It's got to have a director who's going to take the source material and run with it. I think MAPPA's shown themselves to be very good at adaptation from a traditional point of view. You know, we shouldn't forget Dororo was an amazing adaptation. But that wasn't visually distinct in a lot of ways. It was good, animated.
It was a modernization of a very old style.
Yes.
And that definitely takes some heavy lifting. Yeah. But yeah.
I mean, Jujutsu Kaisen is amazing, the animation.
I really need to watch the anime.
Oh my god, it's like every week.
Need to check it out then.
It's just the pinnacle of modern action animation. So if it approaches anything close to the fight between Sukuna and Gojo in the second episode, then I'll be happy, I think. I don't know. I'm optimistic.
We'll need to add it to our list then.
Yeah.
Yes. So I guess another thing to go into is, to the two of us that have read Fire Punch, myself and Jacob, is it a good recommendation following Chainsaw Man? And how thematically similar would you say it is?
Following Chainsaw Man, that's an interesting question. I suppose it depends what you thought of Chainsaw Man. I think in general, Fire Punch, in my mind, ends up being a much more polished series overall. It feels a lot more fully rounded than Chainsaw Man, which, as I've said, you know, was a bit rushed in some places. And I think in general, there was a bit of a change in pace once Fujimoto maybe realized he was going to move to Jump Plus. I think Fire Punch, because it was just regularly published, it was in a monthly format, it had a lot more time to explore the world and the characters. And it also managed to put forward a little bit more of a definitive exploration on the theme of heroism and what it means to be a hero. I think if you were frustrated a bit by Chainsaw Man, like I was, then read Fire Punch and you will have a better appreciation for Fujimoto and also where he might go in part two.
I'd say Chainsaw Man is a really good primer for if you will like Fire Punch.
Yeah,
because like I said, it uses that framework of like a typical Jump setup and then delves into what kind of tone and what kind of macabreness Fujimoto likes to delve into, and it's like, if you like that tone and you like the way it tackles Grimless, you might have a great time with Fire Punch. But Punch is very much throwing people in the deep end.
Yeah.
It's a much more dour series, it is a much more depressing one, and it's not nearly as humorous. Like, it's bizarre and quirky, but it's far more downbeat and it doesn't aim for jokes as much.
Okay.
It has comedic characters, I think, like Togata, as we discussed. It has an irreverent tone, I think, at times because of that character. But as you say, you know, the first chapter alone has child death, murder, mutilation. There's all sorts. There's like mass murder in there. It's. I think if you like Fujimoto's style and you like his storytelling and you like his outlook on life, you will like it.
Just don't expect a lighter read. Quite the opposite.
No, and if you are under the age of, you know, 13, then don't read it.
You shouldn't be reading Shonen Jump either, probably.
Well, in Japan, you know, some kids might be reading Chainsaw Man when they're like, you know, 12.
Yeah, crazy thing.
That's true.
It's in a magazine that is, like, accessible for quite young people, yeah. And it's a bit debatable whether it really should be, regardless of how well it works as a work.
Well, that's interesting, yeah. Actually. I remember translating an interview with Haruyuki Nakano, who's the editor-in-chief, and he was saying about sort of adult content in Jump. He says that kids like it. It doesn't turn kids off, because even when kids don't understand what's going on in like a more adult story, like, you know, Chainsaw Man or even like To Love Ru was a big series in Jump for a long time. They might not understand what's going on, but they can tell that there's something there that they don't understand, and they'll buy the comics, they'll buy the magazine because they want to find out what that is, if you get what I mean.
I mean, I've heard a case made for Chainsaw Man in particular that it is so over-the-top gory and divorced from reality that it's not as bad as, say, the at times borderline pornographic fan service. I'm not really sure where I stand on that.
Yeah, you have... I mean, on the fan service, you know, Japan has a very different set of what is suitable for kids than us. Sexual content is not as looked down upon as gore. The gore is the most surprising thing, I think, about Jump. But then again, a lot of series, I mean, My Hero Academia's got a lot of body horror in at the minute. Jujutsu Kaisen's got a lot of dead bodies and gore in and dismemberment. I don't know. If it sells, then that's what Jump's bothered about anyway, at the end of the day.
The worst thing for me about that is how generally socially conservative a lot of Jump manga is, and what examples it sets and how, like, girls are expected to be treated and stuff. Chainsaw Man is actually one of the best manga in that regard, so I really have no problem it being particularly accessible. A lot of the fan service here, if I can call it that, it's not particularly sexually framed.
Even if some may find it appealing.
I mean, there is that colour spread with Makima and Reze on the bed. But that's not gratuitous. That's a representation of what's in Denji's mind, right? So...
Yeah, it looks at a lot of things, like, matter-of-factly.
Yeah, if the series wanted to be gratuitous about it, it would have scenes like that outside of that particular one.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, that's interesting you say about sort of socially conservative and the position of women, Wednesday. You know, I think we shouldn't forget that in Chainsaw Man, the main antagonist is a woman. And a very powerful woman, and that's interesting. That's not something you tend to see. I'm just thinking of other Jump series, you know, My Hero Academia, Jujutsu Kaisen.
Also, you know. Just like, it doesn't really have much qualms about just having the male protag fight her head on.
No, at all, no.
Yeah.
It's not like Sanji, you know, the gentlemanly.
Oh, yeah.
You know this from Reputation.
Yeah. And then I was going to say as well on Fire Punch, Nayuta, who's introduced in the last chapter, who's the reincarnated Makima / Denji's daughter. I have a feeling that they are going to play a similar role to Sun in Fire Punch.
Okay.
Simply because they are a childlike character attached to the protagonist that's going to go on a journey with them.
Oh boy, I hope she doesn't go on the same journey as Sun.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I think...
Oh dear.
Yeah.
Should I expect something? I'm just straight off of watching Nisemonogatari.
Oh no, not like that. Not in that sense. It just in a like, oh god, it's painful.
Yeah, it's a painful journey. Yeah.
No, I think one thing that interests me in thematically comparing Fire Punch and Chainsaw Man is that Fire Punch is based much more in the idea of enduring memory driving its characters. Memory of a loved one. Memory of films or pop culture from earlier, whereas Chainsaw Man, it's more about people trying to dull themselves or be somewhat off kilter in order to cope. In fact, Denji suppressing his childhood memories of killing his dad is the stark opposite to Agni in that regard.
He's the anti hashtag Ray from Promised Neverland.
The anti baby memories.
That's interesting. Yeah, that's interesting.
I definitely say Fire Punch is a more cohesive, weighty, deliberately paced work. But Chainsaw Man has characters I personally find easier to connect with, just because I think it's part of that humorous nature that they're allowed to have those lighter scenes.
I think it's part of the medium in which the two series were serialized, right? Fire Punch was monthly. It was, I think, in a lot of ways, monthly gives an author a little bit more space to
Was it monthly? Because the chapters are all about weekly length.
It might have been bi-weekly. I'm not sure.
It might have followed that similar Jump Plus sort of pattern that Kaiju number 8 does, where it's allowed to take regular breaks.
Weekly Shonen Jump was a lot more regular for Fujimoto. Yeah. And I think in that sense, you know, narrative is really important in Fire Punch, but characters become perhaps more important in Chainsaw Man. And I think it's something you see a lot in Jump, where basically a lot of series live or die by their characters, because they provide the materials with which the author can craft compelling stories, and sometimes fall back on those characters when they need a bit of a break, you know, for more comedic chapters that we've seen in Chainsaw Man.
Yes.
But I'm also thinking of, like, Dr. Stone, which has a really good balance, I think, of narrative and characters, where it can balance the two. I'd be really interested to actually talk to Fujimoto if he ever... I mean, he's probably a bit busier, freer now, but I would love to do an interview with him and chat with him, you know, just...
Well, you'll be surprised, but because on our podcast we have a secret guest...
Fujimoto!
Yeah!
Hi, everybody! I am Fujimoto!
That's what you think, that Fuji... I wonder what Fujimoto looks like. I think we'd be very disappointed, actually, probably. I know that people on Konomanga Gasugoi, the guy on the front, people thought he was Fujimoto, but he's actually like a famous comedian. That was quite funny.
I wonder if Oda is the fish devil, because he like has a fish for a head.
I guess my conclusion is, like, Fire Punch and Chainsaw Man, they both had a big effect on me and are both hovering in that area where I'm wondering if I want to put them on, like, my all-time favourites list or not.
That's interesting. Fire Punch is on my all-time favourites, but Chainsaw Man isn't, because I think there's a lot of work to do in part two.
Okay. I think I'm not sure which one I like better yet, but I guess I'll meditate on it a bit.
I really love Chainsaw Man, and it's probably become one of my favorite series of all time. I loved its bleakness, its grotesque mode. It won't sugarcoat its bleakness with hope, but neither will it romanticize the tragedy of it. It will present things as they are and understand, and perhaps find some humor in the absurdity of it all. And that's why it's found a special place in my heart. It's kind of as if experiencing theater of the absurd through shonen manga form.
Wow, that's a title for a video and a half. Chainsaw Man... Theatre of the Absurd. You should do an essay on that.
Maybe I will at the end of part two. I'll put it up as a goal on Patreon or something. Nice.
I still want to see Samurai 8, the Jordan Peterson of manga, personally.
Oh, Jesus. I'd forgotten about that until now. Thanks.
Samurai 8 fascinates me for some reason. Like, it's not good, but it intrigues me. I like thinking about it sometimes.
It is fascinating, isn't it?
If any manga needs to come back from the dead, it has to be Mitama Security. Mitama Bros, rise up.
Yes. There's another video I did on it, and I wasn't very impressed at that time, but then I ended up really loving it.
I have all the volume in Japanese.
You can also go into expectations on part two of Chainsaw Man, though I don't have a terribly huge amount to say here, because I don't think I can predict Fujimoto very well.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, same. I've learned not to really expect anything in the series, but, like, if I were to make an educated guess, I'd say the final chapter kind of suggests some high school secret identity hijinks with shell-shocked students and Denji just not fitting in.
I feel like that is... It's doing the same thing he did with the start of part one, where it's like, let's plonk him in a really typical Shonen Jump setup and then... Just do what we want with it.
Oh my god, what will part three be? A tournament arc,
I guess? It's gonna be a trip to Egypt, obviously.
Kobeni's card!
I really hope that Fujimoto starts to parody JoJo with the parts. That would be hilarious.
Oh, I'd love it.
I actually have a lot of expectations for part two, and I'm not sure whether that's me being stupid and foolish and thinking I can predict Fujimoto, but I'll say them anyway. Firstly, I expect Denji to continue to grow as a person, as a character. I think, as we've said, you know, obviously the growth of the protagonist and the development of the protagonist is going to be central to the story going forward. I think we're going to see Chainsaw Dad. I think we're going to see, you know, Denji trying to live with Naota, maybe trying to teach them not to be like Makima, because that's what Kishibe says, you know. If we leave Naota with the government, then they're just going to turn out like Makima, so... Maybe Denji is put in the situation where he actually has to teach that kid morality, even though he doesn't actually know what that is himself. That would be funny. There's got to be an arc where Denji goes to save Power, surely.
Because she mentioned that's been set up.
that setup. So I think there's going to be another trip to hell. And I think in that, we're going to have to see more of the primordial devils. You know, there's three more from the darkness devil, then there's more, the primordial fears. That's a big thing that I think has a lot of potential. I think there's potential for Fujimoto to do really mind-bending stuff, really terrifying stuff with these like primordial foes that I'm really looking forward to.
I wonder if we're going to see the devils that Makima wanted to kill and erase the concepts behind them, like hunger, poverty, and war.
Death devil has got to be one, surely. That's a primordial fear, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, hunger devil, yeah, all those. There's a lot of scope, I think, but it all depends on Fujimoto, because Fujimoto is not an author, I think, who plans things.
Really? You say that. Like, one of the things that I think raised my appreciation of the final arc is how rereading the material up to that point preempts it so well. I'm sure he throws in curveballs here and there, but yeah.
But I'm not sure if he plans things or whether he's just so much of a genius that it just makes sense. Like, that's the feeling I get. Obviously, I don't know the guy. There are no interviews. No, there are interviews with him. But he is not someone who actually speaks seriously. He did an interview with Yuji Kaji. Is that who writes Jigokuraku? They did like a double interview where they talked about each other's works. And the Jigokuraku author, his...
Yuji Kaku.
There we are. Yuji Kaku's comments about Fujimoto were more enlightening than anything he said in his interview. Because he just spent the entire time like making memes and shitposting. So
I can see the two of them having such an influence on each other.
Wait, he works under him on Fire Punch, and he said that he was a big influence on him. I did an article about it. You should read it.
That's not surprising.
Yeah.
And Fire Punch is ending soon too. My weekly lineup's getting cleaned out.
Jigokuraku, you mean?
Yes.
Yeah.
Did I say Fire Punch?
Yes, you did.
Yes, Fire Punch, the manga that ended in, like, what, 2016?
2018.
2018.
Yeah.
That's ending soon.
Yes. You missed that. You missed that, though. I'll just say I have a lot to expect from part two. I hope that he can, on the whole, make something more well-rounded. And I hope that the circumstances at Jump Plus allow Fujimoto to, you know, do his best work. I have to assume the reason he moved to Jump Plus was either because he wants to do more adult things that wouldn't be suited in the magazine, or he doesn't like the schedule in Jump and the constantness of it. You know, he did get his big break on Jump Plus. I just hope that the circumstances for Fujimoto are better going forward and he can continue to produce good stuff, I think.
Maybe he got his bonus so he can finally leave the division.
Move to another division in Shueisha, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's like Shonen Jump is the most... It's kind of like Division 4. It's like you experience the most dangers with the crunch.
Oh, definitely, for sure.
And yeah, I guess this is an obvious one, so maybe it won't happen, but I think the Blood Devil might come back and possess one of the classmates, and that's how she comes back.
Interesting. I hope Reze comes back and she gets her dream come true of going to school. That's just me hoping, though. I hope the Angel Devil comes back as well. I hope everyone comes back.
Aww.
It would be funny if Fujimoto brought everyone back.
Everyone just comes back and is in this classroom. This is a stealth high school spin-off.
That would be hilarious, you know what I think? If Fujimoto just went full My Hero Academia and made it into a school series and then use that to point out how bad the school setting is in My Hero Academia, because it's terrible.
Okay, I don't want to get into I'm of two minds. The training arcs are often bad, but the slice of lifey stuff is really cute and endearing.
Yes, but it's very badly integrated into the overall story, IMO.
It's in the title. It's in the title. It's My Hero Academia. It's a mix. It's like alternating.
I preferred the title of the one shot, Boku no Hero. I think that's just better. Anyway, this is not a My Hero Academia podcast.
I remember really not enjoying the one shot, but I can't remember why. I can barely remember it, but yeah.
I think that's my last comment. So I guess it's time for the round off.
Yeah. Is there anything people want to plug?
I'll plug myself. You can read my articles on OtaQuest, otaquest.com/author/Jacob. I think probably watchers of the channel will enjoy the coverage I do. I mainly write about Weekly Shonen Jump and the manga industry in general, hopefully with a more in-depth coverage than you might see in other websites. And I also do a column every week called Jump Time, where I talk about the week of chapters. It's mainly me despairing over how all over the place Undead Unluck is. And then I also do reviews of manga and think pieces and stuff, including stuff that hasn't been translated.
I just really like your piece on Virtual San is really weird but kind of good.
Oh, that's from years ago, yeah.
About the VTuber series I kind of founded by chance just minutes before recording, I think.
Oh, wow, okay.
And it was really fascinating to read about this weird series, so I might check it out sometime.
Nice, thank you.
That is going to do it for the Chainsaw Man finale episode of Manga Mosaic. You can listen to us on so many podcast hosting sites, anchor.fm/WednesdayOldCheddar, youtube.com/c/WednesdayOldCheddar. That's the main links. That's where all the links are in the descriptions. We're also on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Podbean, Breaker, Overcast, Radio Public, Pocket Cast, Podbay, Play FM, Listen Notes, Castro, and Google Podcasts. Anchor.fm/WednesdayOldCheddar. So remember that, much like Denji's reality, the YouTube algorithm is the dark abyss of sorrows and woes from which channels like these never resurface. And what helps us navigate it is liking, subscribing, and sharing the podcast with a friend.
Also on the same RSS feed, we do also have Duckface.
Yeah, that's true. You also get access to not only Manga Mosaic, but also Duckface Diaries, a World Trigger podcast aiming to discuss the World Trigger manga volume by volume. We've just reached Enidora the Explorer's fight. We're releasing that at the end of the month, so it's the perfect time to join. Come listen and tell a friend.
I recommend it. I'm listening to it, trying to be convinced as to why World Trigger is a masterpiece. You haven't convinced me yet, but I'm along for the ride.
Have you checked out Hoven's video essay about it?
Yes, I've watched the videos.
Yes, anyone who's like not sure about what World Trigger is all about, or have tried it and aren't sure if they like it, I've done a new video essay analytical piece on what makes World Trigger work so well and why it's worth giving a look. It's called World Trigger, a love letter to underdogs, and you can find it at Hoven with an H on YouTube.
Yeah, and check out our sister show, Hoven's Hideaway, if you'd like to mention it.
I think the last one we put out for that was a discussion of Undertale and Deltarune. So yeah, check that out.
And if you'd like to help me upload these podcasts on a regular basis, consider supporting me on patreon.com/WednesdayOldCheddar. In return for your support, you get access to rewards such as at the $1 tier, shout out to your name in the credits, at the $3 tier, requesting a short series to be covered on the Manga Mosaic podcast. This in particular is a bargain, maybe I should move it up a bit. Then a World Trigger Duckface avatar, access to the behind the scenes files, and requesting a series to be covered on a long form video essay. Then high level contributors get access to manga threads, for the series from the Shonen Jump vault I'm reading for the very first time, including my first impressions on the chapters and standout panels. Help me reach goals such as reviving World Trigger Bridge or more manga video essays. Now patrons can vote on the subject of the video essay every time we hit a milestone, and this is especially good when you want me to talk about bad things that I don't want to read or watch. So, like, one of the series on the table is A Certain Magical Index. Which is god-awful, and I absolutely despise it. A sincere thank you to Milo Jack Stilitz, who composed our opening theme. You can find his work at soundcloud.com/MiloJackStilitz. Alright then, so anything else to mention?
Follow me on Twitter at Hoven with an H.
Yeah, that's right. Follow us at Duckface Diaries and me at Wensley Cheddar. Alright then, so I guess we started this episode with a song, so we can end it with a song as well.
Chainsaw Man, take me by the hand, lead me to the land. I don't have any more puns, it's just Ocean Man with Chainsaw Man instead. Anyway.
Chainsaw Man does whatever a chainsaw can, which is actually not a lot, because it is an inanimate object. How fitting for Denji, a dejected millennial metaphor. Bye, everybody!